You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
There's probably a good reason you're not supposed to discuss sex, death, and money in mixed company, but because so few people know how to deal with difficult topics like those. But that's exactly what we'll be discussing today with Philip Galanis, in particular, death and illness. What should you say when people pass away or are sick without being hurtful or thoughtless or just plain insensitive? Philip Galanis answers questions like those every Sunday in his Social Cues column in the New York Times Style section. And it is my great pleasure to welcome him back to our show today.
Morning, Leonard.
And since this is, should I correct people when they say morning when it's the afternoon?
You should definitely do it. I think you could even throw in a slap if you wanted to.
Since this is something we all go through, please feel free to share your comments or questions about situations that you've had to deal with death and illness. There are many options for you. You can call us at 212-433-9692. Write to us on our show page at WNYC.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. It's hard for me to say that name. Philip, I understand this is a particularly timely topic for you. Didn't you lose your mother fairly
recently? I did. I lost my mother over the summer. And I will say that even though I'd gotten many, many letters on this subject over my 5 or 6 years doing this at the Times, it took on a really strong resonance. It's like, I think we should call this topic when panicked meets grief-struck, because we who haven't lost someone or who aren't really sick are so frightened deep down about death and illness and feelings for our close friends or acquaintances or coworkers who are going through something awful, that it tends to make things bounce really weird, and people will end up saying odd things or not saying anything, and it can really have a profound impact on relationships. So I think this is a great discussion that we're going to have today.
Do you think it matters whether you were close or estranged from the parent when people talk to you about it?
Well, I will say that I put this in the category of things that I would tend to avoid. For instance, when a lot of people said to me, God never gives you more than you can handle, that made me feel annoyed. It didn't make me feel comforted. And when people would say, you certainly can take comfort in the fact that you were a great son. And I know that they were trying to be thoughtful and complimentary, but it's actually misses the point, which is you should feel sorry for me. You should feel sorry for me because I've just had a profound human loss, and it's a human loss that connects me to you, to everyone else in the world. And much better to just express sorrow than commentary on the relationship, even though I know both of those comments are well met. The God one seems a little weirder than what you suggested, like close or not close. It might be much harder for people if they're estranged, and that might, again, make the ball bounce weird.
Because people will ask, were you close?
Yeah. People will ask. They'll ask, what happened? They'll ask you what happened within the first week of someone very close to you dying. It's like, really? You want a medical report?
Would you have liked to have heard?
You know something? I would like to have heard I'd like to have just had a pat on the back, a hug, an I'm sorry. This is one of those things where it's really not about the language. It's just about how purely someone is coming to you as a fellow human being and acknowledging your loss.
Many people feel that it's an appropriate time to tell you about their own experiences,
yes.
Sometimes even worse than what they think you went through.
Yes.
But it doesn't feel very reassuring.
No, that feels really the worst of all. It's the return to the 70s me generation of co-opting your sad moment with something that is much sadder.
Oh, you have cancer?
Sadder.
Oh, yeah, well, I not only had cancer, but...
Exactly.
My knee went out.
Yeah. No. And I know that a lot of this is people failing, you know... No, let's not say it negatively. Let's say they really haven't thought about the impact on you because they're too busy, because they're too loaded down with their own baggage on the question. I mean, because if I see someone whose mother has just died, inevitably it brings up the fact that my mother just died. But it's one of those times when this is one of those areas and times, illness, death, where it's really a great idea to take a breath before you say or do anything.
David wrote into our show page asking, this is the other side, how should I feel about people who knew my dad died, didn't attend the funeral, did not show up during the mourning period, didn't send a card, did not make a phone call, did not make a contribution, etc.? These are people we have known forever.
Right. And David, I'm sorry that those things happened to you, but I think it's a lot more about how uncomfortable and how panicked those people were by your loss. And it's cold comfort to you, I know, but some of us are really just scared out of our gourds about illness and death, and we can't go there. It's really unfortunate, and I bet it's affected your relationships with those people. Should he say something about it, Leonard? I don't know. Maybe among your very, very closest friends. But otherwise, I think you can just see it as a reflection on their ability to deal with.
Maybe
this
it made them uncomfortable.
Painful. Yeah, it made them profoundly
uncomfortable. Or maybe they're totally oblivious.
Or they're focused on, it's Tuesday night, it's time for me to go home and watch, whatever I watch on Tuesday night.
Mike from Brooklyn posted this on our show page. What if I really get emotional when I try to express my condolences? Should I try to avoid seeing that other person?
Well, I'll tell you, it certainly can make... when somebody would come up to me and cry, I would cry too. So maybe don't do that. If you're that person, Mike, it's great that you're self-aware enough to know that you're that person. It's just maybe a question of when and where you're going to try to express your condolences, because letting the emotion out is really important for you and for the other person. But let's say it's going to happen on a subway platform, maybe not. Or in the middle of a conference room, again, maybe not. But hopefully you'll find a time where a few tears are going to make both of you feel closer and a little better.
My guest is Philip Galanis, who writes the Social Cues column for the Sunday New York Times Style section. We're taking your calls at 212-433-9692, or you can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Andrea from Philadelphia, hi, you're on the air.
I was 17 when my father died, and my mother had died just a few years before that, so it was pretty tragic and shocking, and it was late spring, and I got, bags and bags of letters, in the mail. There was no internet, and I just kept those. I read them and reread them all summer long, and they just really got me through, just so supportive, and stories, long letters, and that was just really a very important thing, support thing for me that I received.
Things that they told you about, things that your father had done that had been great,
right,
and that would always remember him for.
Yes, and relationships, that some of that I didn't even know about.
Yeah. That's a great point. One of the things, I was just up at MoMA last week, and I bought a huge mess of postcards, and I stamped them. And one of the things that I've started doing when people are having a rough time, either a death in the family or something difficult, like, you know, an illness, going through an illness, and, you know, the treatment for illnesses can be so stressful and painful for families. Just to send small notes out, I think that the experience that you're describing is exactly right. It provides immense comfort.
Lauren wrote into our show page, "It's been a month or so since a friend lost his child. I went to the funeral and all, but I don't know whether to bring it up when I see him." What do you say?
I say let's take your cues from your friend. For every letter I get at the Times that says, "I'm so annoyed that someone hasn't spoken to me about my daughter," I get another letter that says, "They brought up my daughter at the most inopportune moment, and it made me feel awful. It ruined the party for me and everyone else." So let's say if they bring up the daughter's name or seem like they're in a position to hear a story about your relationship with the daughter or how or something like that, go with it. Otherwise, I think I'd be a little more inclined to focus on how she's feeling, if there's anything you can do for her. I'm going to the market. What am I picking up for you?
I want you to know that you're not alone in that. In one of your complaints, a listener wrote, "When I lost my mom, people kept saying, 'God never gives us more than we can handle.' I wanted to punch them. Am I alone?"
Yeah. No, you are not alone, caller, writer. You are not alone. It made me so – I mean, and I know I was just displacing my anger onto the people who said it. But I thought, well, how do you know? And what a strange, weird, abstract thing to say.
I guess somebody said, "This is what you say," and yeah. Many people follow it. Is it Tony from Westchester? Hi, you're on the air.
Hello there. Hi, guys. At a funeral or a wake, I was in the process of calling, so you were kind of skirting around. I don't know if you mentioned this specifically. When a person is not an immediate family and, you know, kind of know them from a distance, it's been a hello kind of relationship, what can you say to the family besides, "I'm sorry for your loss"? When you're like in a line, it's a very short period of time, you can't get into anything. I'm tired of saying that.
For all the times I've said it and for how tired I am of saying it, I appreciated it every time somebody said it to me, Tony, because it didn't require... I mean, the family is on autopilot and probably Valium. Mm-hmm. So they're not in a position to really have a new, your being there is the major thing. One, your going and standing in line and shaking their hands is the next great thing you're doing. What you say is totally irrelevant. And if there comes a time when you want to talk about a great experience you had on the basketball court or at work or at a restaurant with the person who died, and there's a time to tell them that. It may be in a note. It might be a few months later when you run into them on the street. Keep it simple. I know that it's not, or you're not going to win points for originality, but I think this is a time when originality points don't matter much.
You can't say something like, "I loved her," "I loved him," or something like that.
Yeah, but certainly.
She was a wonderful person. Yeah. I feel for you. It's a terrible loss.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Sure.
We'll take a little break and come back with more of your calls and comments to Philip Galanis, who writes the Social Cues column in the Sunday New York Times Style section. We're talking about what you say to someone who has lost a loved one or who has has a terrible illness or has had a terrible accident. And our phone number is 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org. We're back with Philip Galanis, who answers questions about the things that we discuss here as well every Sunday in his Social Cues column in the New York Times Style section. We are taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Thopate. What if somebody had an accident or is dealing with a prolonged recovery? So many people will ask, what happened. Sometimes it can be a relief for the person not to have to answer. Is it better in this case as well to wait for them to bring it up themselves?
I think in the initial aftermath, it's really great to be there with support. I'm going to the store. What am I picking up for you? I'm going to do this. I'm not saying what can I do for you, because nobody says what they can do for you. Just do something for them. But otherwise, I think you're right. Having to talk about it 17 times a day is an annoyance. On the other hand, Leonard, I'll be frank. I get lots of letters that say, I am so peeved. The people I work with stopped asking me about this really life-challenging thing that I'm dealing with. So I think some of it comes down to the personality of the person. Are they gregarious? Does it seem like they enjoy talking about, well, in physical therapy today we did this and this, or do they seem more private about it, in which case keeping your support sort of generalized and not specific to their illness or their progress is the way to go.
What if you see somebody whose arm is in a splint or their foot is in a cast? Do you just avoid saying, what happened?
Yes, I do. I really avoid saying, what happened? I know it's the most human thing in the world to say, what happened? First, because we are curious people, and second, because we're really afraid something like that is going to happen to us. But I think that's much more about you putting your needs before the guy who's got the arm in the cast or the leg in the, you know, in the cast, which is not to say you can't be supportive and kind to them, but just going for the gory details is not their responsibility.
We've really touched on a nerve here. Elizabeth wrote in that that people who say he or she is in a better place always enrages her.
Yeah, exactly. It's because it's what you were talking about during the break, Leonard. You're making lots of assumptions about both the person you're speaking to and the person who's passed away. I mean, and it's so unnecessary, because what all you really mean to say is you're hurting, and if there were anything I could say to make you hurt less, I would say it, but there isn't, so I'm going to say this ridiculous thing about heaven or God, which, you know, might be the case for that person or might just be silliness.
Let's take another call. Douglas from New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you today? I love your show. 18 years ago, I lost my mom to breast cancer. I was 26 years old. I had just gotten married, and she passed around 4 months after. I had one of my closest friends in the world, never called, didn't show up at the funeral. We're Jewish. He didn't show up when we had our mourning period, and I didn't hear from him months after. It put a terrible, terrible strain on our relationship, and unfortunately, to the point where we really don't speak anymore, and it's really tragic. And all I needed at that time was really someone just to say, no words of wisdom, but I'm so sorry. I love you, and I'm here for you.
Yep. That's exactly my experience, and it's the experience of so many people who write into my column.
Could you ever tell him about your feeling?
Well, you know, we had a mutual friend had a 40th birthday years and years later, and he was still friends with the gentleman, and we were away for a weekend, and, you know, he said, whatever happened to us? And I took that as my opportunity. I was no longer angry at him, but I said to him, I said, you really deeply hurt me. I said, I thought you were someone in my life who cared about me. And when I got no reaction, no response, it hurt so much. I said, I didn't expect you to make it better, because you can't. But as a friend, it would have meant the world to me. Even if you called and said, I don't know what to say. This is horrible. I'm so uncomfortable, but I'm here for you. That's it. I just wanted to know, just an acknowledgement, if not even, just that, you know, say, you're my friend. I'm
Did he respond? Did he have a response?
He kind of broke down and cried, and he never realized it.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
How deeply it affected me.
In one way, a story you were telling reminds me of one of the weird benefits of death and illness is that it's like a get out of jail free card for lots of relationships that are having sort of petty workaday problems. You know, the small problems go away, and it gives people who are mildly estranged the chance to just throw that away and step up and say exactly what you're asking for, which is, I'm sorry. I love you. I'm sorry you've had to go through this. And that smaller stuff tends to go away. It can go away. That's a really great story because you got the full circle of it.
Thanks for your call. Wayne in New Jersey writes, I have Parkinson's. I get a little bothered when people say, you look good. It's meaningless. I would much rather have people say, how are you feeling these days? How can the person who is being addressed communicate those kinds of desires to friends?
Well, it's delicate because, I mean, first of all, you're quite right, Wayne. The you look good means they assumed you were going to look bad, and so since you don't, they're going to comment on it. Maybe saying right away, yes, you look good too, or something that can let them know that you'd prefer not to hear about you'd not to hear comments like that without making too big a fuss about it, because you don't want to turn. I mean, again, these people mean well. It just so happens that they annoy you. Now, you're going to be dealing with these people for many years, I bet. And so saying something like, you can probably redirect it I don't know, Leonard. I don't feel like I would advise somebody to say, I don't like you to say that to me. Would you?
Just let it go.
Yeah, I think I'd be more inclined to let it go in this case.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard when you see someone with Parkinson's because it's quite obvious that they are suffering at the same time. I just talk to them as though their hand isn't shaking.
Right.
Because I think that it's very apparent. They know they have Parkinson's. I see they have Parkinson's. Yeah. Where are we going to go from
there? It's like that kind of like I can hardly notice. Well, that's not true. I agree with you. Better to say nothing. And at the same time, Wayne is saying he would like people to ask him how he's doing and how he's feeling.
Well, I guess you could do that.
I guess you can, if you're close enough.
Philip Galanis is my guest. He writes the Social Cues column in the Sunday New York Times Style section. We're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. I am Leonard Lopate, and Richie from the Bronx is on the air.
Hello?
Hey, Rich.
Hi. My wife died very tragically in an accident, and she was very beloved in the community. And two things I recognize, one about myself, is that every single thing that somebody said to me afterwards, I recognized that I had said the exact same thing to somebody else in a similar circumstance. And also, the fact that she was so beloved, people wanted to tell me how much they loved my wife. And I almost felt like I was comforting them and consoling them more so than they were trying to, you know, console me about her death.
Did that feel like a burden?
It's okay to admit it. It sounds like a burden, Richie.
It was. sometimes. But the other thing is that I recognize, you know, how loved that she was. And it was a little bit of a burden at times, but then I sort of got past it, you know, like it was just sort of like that initial mourning process.
Yep.
But later, as time went by, I recognized that in some cases it felt like, definitely felt like a burden, and it felt like, oh my God, these guys, people don't get it. You know, it's like, I'm the one who lost my wife. You know, I
right.
realize how much she meant to you, but, you know, it's such a deep loss to me, you know?
Yeah. I think people just, again, I think the Richie, you have making a great example of how it's so important just to stop and think before we talk about to people who have lost something very, very precious to them.
On the other hand, Anon, meaning anonymous, I guess, from New York City, wrote in to say that having grieved a number of losses, it's extremely difficult when people say nothing. I found when friends don't say anything, it has made me feel incredibly isolated. It's better to say the wrong thing than nothing at all.
Well, I guess that's an approach. Except if you knew how, I mean, the wrong thing is often so hurtful and awkward. And of course, we want to be, we want our experiences to be acknowledged. But well, there's no reason to say which is better or worse. It's really great to acknowledge a loss. And I certainly understand the feelings of hurt when people don't.
Kate on Twitter wrote in to say, crazy that this has to be said. Don't ask right away if someone who died from lung cancer smoked or was fat.
Absolutely. You know, one of the most amazing things, Kate, that happened to me, and it's really strange because my mother was not a spring chicken, but someone said to me after the funeral service, someone shaking my hand said, did she have life insurance? And I thought for a second, I must have misheard that, because no one could really ask somebody walking out of a church, did you have life insurance? But they did. People just say crazy things. But in this case, in Kate's case especially, or the point Kate's making, we like to think, oh my God, lung cancer is so scary. I don't smoke. So if I can just establish the fact that Kate's mother smoked, then I don't have to worry about that. And that's a case where panic is making people say really dim-bulbed things.
Nick on Twitter asks, what about someone at work who forces everyone to listen to stories about their blood tests, etc., about their illness? How can that listener say he doesn't want to hear about it?
Well, one of the great prerogatives of serious illness is that we can really take people hostage. So it is probably easier just to listen to it. But if it really bothers you and you don't want to hear about the progress of their treatment, I would say then you say something to them. But make sure you do it alone, and make sure you do it in as tactful a way as you can. But I recognize you have a fair point. We are not obliged to hear other people's health complaints all day. So I would try something privately and in as loving a way as possible, saying things like, you know, this is going to sound crazy, but it makes me really uncomfortable or frightened or anxious to hear about your health complaint, because you don't want to pile on and make them feel like they've done something wrong on top of already being ill.
A listener wonders, what if you aren't especially close to someone who's seriously sick? Should you try to visit?
In the hospital. If someone is seriously ill and you're not close, I think it'd probably be, you know, just as, you know, it'd be just as effective to send them a card or call if they can speak on the phone. But if this is something that is, if you're close enough that you are well, I guess a guilty kind of a guilt-ridden person might feel like she needed to visit people all day long. But I don't think that that we're under any obligation to go visit people, so do it if you feel like it.
Other people who have problems along these lines are the doctors. Atul Gawande writes about that, in fact, in Being Mortal. What right. do doctors say to the family, to the patient?
Well, doctors are...
They often don't say the right thing.
They're often so inured to the process, and I understand it. They're dealing with mortality all day long, many of them. And so it tends to steal their hearts over a little bit, not in their lives, but in that professional setting. And so they often say things like, I had a woman write to me last week, and when the doctor came in said, you can't win them all, when the mother died.
Oh. Philip Galanis writes the Social Cues column for the Sunday New York Times Style section. And we thank you, Philip, so much for coming on our show today for this latest segment of helping people through.
It's a terrific segment. Thanks, Leonard.